the physical market, which obviously I know you're involved with, is now not being as hampered as much by years ago central bank selling, and for a whole lot of years, this cartel or whatever you want to call it, and even if they weren't formally together, people taking advantage of the short side of the paper market. So I think that in alone, plus some other reasons, is reasons to believe that gold will go not only to a nominal high, but adjusted for inflation, which would be around 23 or 2400. That's the absolute minimum that I think could be. And then if certain things happen, geopolitical and what have you, we could be talking higher.
This is Kaiser Johnson with Liberty and Finance, and this is the Miles Franklin Weekly Special for January 31st through February 7th, 2023, while supplies last. This week we feature 2023 Austrian Silver Philharmonics at just $3.29 over spot per ounce. Frequently regarded as one of the most beautiful sovereign coins, the Austrian Philharmonic portrays instruments from the Vienna Orchestra on one side and the grand pipe organ from the famed Augsburg Golden Hall on the other, all in 3/9 fine pure silver with a face value of 1.5 euro. These 2023 Philharmonics come 20 to a tube, 500 to a box, are just $3.29 over spot, and are IRA eligible. And if you'd like to learn more about a precious metals IRA, call us, and we'll be happy to help you in that process. Our number for all orders is 1-888-81-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-815-4237. We're available after hours and on weekends, and we look forward to speaking with you.
Hey everyone, this is Elijah K. Johnson with Liberty and Finance. And back with us today is our good friend Peter Grandich from Peter Grandich & Company. Peter, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a while.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you again.
Well, it's great to have you. And I wanted to discuss and kind of follow up with what we had discussed in the last two interviews we did with you. You were all in on gold, silver, copper, and uranium, those sectors. It seems like, you know, since we last talked, we have kind of come out of the lows in those sectors. And it seems like it's been pretty good for those sectors in the last few months. What is your perspective right now? And are you still all in on those sectors?
Well, first, I have called this gold rally a mega bull market. It is the single best prepared gold market in almost 40 years of me being in and around the financial arena. And what I mean there is a lot of things have come together to give me great confidence that this is a market that's going to go substantially higher over time. You can start with perhaps the single biggest ingredient in the last several months, and that's central bank buying. Record buying of gold. They're not buying it to speculate in it. They're not buying it to trade it. They're buying it for a particular reason that they foresee coming. Some monetary / political, whatever it may be. We can talk about a possible new type of currency that might have gold backing, whatever it is, to step up. And even if it is just one or two, but we're learning it's more central banks. Even if it is, the fact that they're doing that, that's extremely bullish. Second, and this is not often spoken about, and excuse me if you have, but for a lot of years, in fact, I just made a post on my, I'm back on Twitter now that the Musk is running it. And I said, I always called the COMEX the CRIMEX, because for a lot of years, we endured heavy shorting in the paper gold market. Some saying there's no such thing as manipulation, but since there's now been people convicted of it, we know there was. But the good news is a lot of the paper trading, which used to be heavily in London and New York, has shifted to the Far East. And there, they're interested in gold for a lot of better reasons than the people who are on the COMEX and all. So one of the things we've witnessed is even when we have these quick downdrafts that always happen when the COMEX is open, we see it come back right away, where it used to take weeks or months to come back several years ago. Those two things, and there's more, those two things alone set up the gold market to be in a much better form. The physical market, which obviously I know you're involved with, is now not being as hampered as much by years ago central bank selling, and for a whole lot of years, this cartel or whatever you want to call it, and even if they weren't formally together, people taking advantage of the short side of the paper market. So I think that in alone, plus some other reasons, is reasons to believe that gold will go not only to a nominal high, but adjusted for inflation, which would be around 2,300 or 2,400. That's the absolute minimum that I think could be. And then if certain things happen, geopolitical and what have you, we could be talking higher.
So a couple things you mentioned there, I'd like to dive into both of those more in detail. First, with respect to the manipulation that a lot of people have argued has been going on, specifically, largely what's been argued is suppression of the price. Are you saying that is changing now?
Yeah, the spoofing and all has dramatically dried up because people were actually caught and convicted. Now there's a potential penalty before someone thinks about doing it. It was kind of like a free ride for a lot of years. And I'm talking about going back to the 80s, this was going on. And there was always one or two people out there that were saying there's no such thing as manipulation. You guys are wearing tinfoil hats and all this other stuff we were accused of. But it proved to be correct. So the inability or fear has lessened that, and it's allowed the real trueness of what's happening in gold, which is based in the physical market, to take more of control of the actual gold price, which right now we see in a lot of people reporting from different parts of the world, really strong physical. We just saw in Germany record demand by investors for gold, something that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, didn't happen. So that's the part in regards to manipulation.
Now, when it comes to spoofing, my understanding of spoofing is it can be up or down, so it doesn't necessarily indicate suppression per se. What is your perspective on that? Because I know the convictions or the settlements of cases have been just spoofing. It hasn't dealt with whether prices were manipulated up or down.
But they were spoofing most of the downside. They were not putting out large buy orders. They were putting out large sell orders. I never saw. It might have happened once or twice, but it was always these 6 o'clock in the evening, somebody decides to sell $1 billion worth of gold. You just, first of all, if you have $1 billion to go, you want to get the best price. That's not the time to be a seller. So the very fact that they put it out there suggested highly that there was a manipulation in it all. So that's what I mean when I talk about the spoofing. It was mostly to the downside.
Very interesting. It sounds like, that could be ending now since traders have been convicted of that. Now, when it comes to the central banks buying gold and possibly going to be using this for a new reserve currency, there's a lot of speculation of that. I know it is official that the BRICS are working on a new reserve currency. But can you give us some more details on that? What do you think is happening there?
Well, I've been saying for a year or whatever, that the BRICS, they keep talking about it. And plus, we see this buy-in. So you have to start to think that is a potential serious factor. We're seeing even the talk of getting away from the dollar. The Saudis have now talked about openly about possibly trading in oil away from the dollar. This country did itself no service by first selling off its oil reserve, which is supposed to be there for emergencies, so he could drive down a price politically, and then going over there and turning them more into enemies than allies. And they've always, Saudis always played both sides of the street. But the fact that even the Saudis are talking about that. And I just think that, we know that the dollar has risen, not because it's the greatest thing in the world, but for a while it was the lesser of two evils versus other currencies. But many things, which we may talk about later in your interview, are happening coming home to roost here in the U.S., which can impact the dollar to the downside.
And what are some of those things? Because we have seen a dramatic decrease in the dollar and the fall in the dollar index after a huge rally. Do you see that to continue? And what are the factors involved here?
Well, the first is the debt crisis. Listen, they're going to go through and they're going to kick the can down again. They're going to go back and forth till June, and then suddenly, I think it's been raised 70 times, the debt ceiling. Why it's called the debt ceiling anymore, I don't know why, because the ceiling has gone through 69 or 70 times they've gone through it. The problem is now is, and I have to tell you, I started in 1984, and I never imagined thinking out, even if I did to 2023 back then, we would use the word T to describe our debt. trillions. And now we're going towards 33 trillion. And that's hard debt. That's not debt that can just disappear overnight. You start putting a 5% interest rate on that, if rates are going to go to 5% and not go back to zero again, we'll start having interest payments more than our defense budget and everything. I mean, that's the first issue. But the other issue, and if this is not the time, maybe later in the interview, is the other issue, which not everybody's speaking about, but it's going to be as much as severe as the debt crisis, is the coming retirement crisis. We have almost 75% of Americans basically working paycheck to paycheck with little or no retirement savings. In fact, boomers who are entering that retirement phase now are seriously, seriously less dollars to live the lifestyle they had hoped to when they retired. And both the inflation of last year and this year and the stock market decline caused even more issues for them. Listen, I'm even concerned about it. I'm not prepared that if I live to my late 80s or 90s to be able to pay for it. So what are these people going to do? They're going to have to keep working, but they certainly are not going to have the extra dollars to spend on luxury items and so forth. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a certain class, 25%, that's still doing okay. But that isn't enough to carry an economy where 70% is consumer spending. So soft landing, all this other stuff that, you know, guys have talked about. I wish I had a dollar for every soft landing prediction that didn't work out over 40 years. But the bottom line is, it's very tough to see a strong economy as we continue to be more indebted. And I have to tell you this, it's just a prediction. Those of us that live by the crystal ball learn to eat a lot of broken glass. But I think this is going to be the most dysfunctional Congress we've had in modern era. Both parties can't stand each other. And within both parties, there's two groups. There's no more unification. And so that and a president that's, I think, going to have a lot of problems politically because of things that are coming out and maybe even health-wise. And I literally, just before we spoke, there was a talk that Kamala Harris gave that I put up, and I put the talk up and I said, President Harris, $3,000 to $4,000 goal, because we would be just, I just can't imagine what it would be like. Not that Biden is the savior, but there's an issue here. And he's basically now being thrown under the bus by more and more Democrats. So the political framework to get anything done, you're a small to mid-sized business owner. A lot of the clients that I worked with over the years are small business size owners. They will tell you every year it gets far more difficult to be a small business owner. A variety of things, not just the things from COVID and labor and all, just regulation, the paperwork, the things they have to do, can't do, et cetera. And this Congress is not prepared to take on these hard issues. We're going to have Republicans seeking revenge for things that happened during the Democrats trying to stall them because they think they'll get it back in 2024. So there is a whole bunch of things that exist that cause me uneasiness. I mean, I'm personally, just as forgetting the financial aspect, very concerned and somewhat of a worrywart of where we're going, not counting, and I know with you I can speak about it, not counting the spiritual side of this. This country is moving away from the Judeo-Christian way that our parents and grandparents, the society worked in. Whether that's good or not, people can argue that. But it's clearly moving away from that. And that has impacts politically, socially, and economically. We're certainly moving closer to more socialist-like agendas here than Christian agendas that our forefathers and the founding fathers installed in the way we live. And so if you're a believer, if you have faith, you also know that almost half of Americans now say they either don't believe in God or agnostic. So we expect things, or think we're going to still carry ourselves as Christians way when one out of two people out there really don't care. And that's not taken in and never is going to be spoken about on Wall Street. I was told years ago, you'd like this, when I first got involved with my faith and my business, the firm I was working for at the time, I said, I want to you know, do this Christian thing. And they said, look, you could put a bull on the door, you can pull a bear on the door, but you're not putting a picture of God on the door. You got to leave religion out of finances. And for the most part, that's what Wall Street does. But it's still an important issue that needs to be addressed, and how people are thinking and how that impacts the economy and other things.
I think it all is all very interrelated. You know, if you're living as a person of principle, if you're living, you know, in union with the way that we are meant to live, then that can impact your whole life. And that includes finances. So I did want to discuss both aspects there. When it comes to the financial side of this, you're saying that it seems like we're headed towards a crisis. And if you look at, you know, 75% of people live in paycheck to paycheck, people are not prepared for this, and they're likely to ask for the government to help them. And the whole idea behind our name, Liberty and Finance, is to protect ourselves financially so that we can protect our liberty. So we don't have to, you know, call for the government to save us in times of crisis. So when it comes to this, you know, what do you see ahead, if you can kind of expand on that, and how can people be prepared for this financially?
So let's take here in New Jersey, we have some towns that were very wealthy, among the wealthiest people in the nation live. And not too far from them are some of the people that are struggling the most. So one of the issues that in New Jersey and other states, and it's going to be a growing issue, is housing for low to middle income. And middle income is middle income. I mean, they're struggling to afford the affordability of homes. The younger people are having a much more difficult because of the affordability, a lower lack of affordability of homes. Then, not only that, but as we get older in the retirement, our health needs are increased. Clearly, people are living longer, but they're living longer at a cost. There's an expense in that. And so that comes at a time when finally, and this was the surprise of 2023 so far for me. I knew it had to come one day, but I didn't know it was ready yet. We used to say, if a politician talks about cutting Social Security, it's like putting his foot on the third rail. That was the comment, because you might as well, because you're committing political suicide. That's gone. They were able to bring out the fact that, and it is a fact, that Social Security needs a lot of help not to go under or become illiquid or in a sense, not be able to pay a lot of people. And some of the things that have to be done, raising the age limit, charging more to people from your paycheck for Social Security, charging the people that are collecting it, lower and lower earners, taxes on that. Well, some states don't, but the federal government does. All those things are before us. Now, you have to ask yourself, if you're a person under 50, you want to raise up to whatever level it's going to be, and what are the chances that I'm ever going to collect on it? That, and then the other, this is also spiritual as well as secular. Hey, Medicare, Medicaid, which is going to also have to be adjusted. I'm a 30-year-old guy barely getting by, and you want to raise money so an 85-year-old guy could have a lung transplant. Oh, he's lived a whole life. These are things that, again, we're not going to turn on the financial network and see and discuss, but you better start discussing it if you plan on living another 10 or 20 years, because those are the things that are going to be faced. Not only here, but around the world. Japan in 30 years is going to have only one working person for every person retired. How does that work? So those are some of the things that I think that aren't addressed. It's not going to impact something tomorrow, but if there's anybody that still thinks long-term, which is really now to young people a month, but really past a year and looking out a generation, those are the negative. Now, can I give you a positive so we don't think this whole show is Pete's scare the world talk? One of the things that's clearly positive to me, and it addresses your original question about the metals, we're going green, whether we like it or not. Whether it's doable, I still have an issue with, I know we're having brownouts and blackouts now because the infrastructure in electricity. Some of it was installed by Thomas Edison. That's how old it is. And I say that sarcastically, but how are we going to provide all this new demand for electricity in the current grid systems that we have in the U.S.? Talk to anybody, not only are they vulnerable for attack, but they're really under stress. But let's just say somehow it gets around and all this green initiative, a lot of it becomes true. The need for metals, lithium, cobalt, rare earth metals, even gold and silver now have become very used industrial-wise. Copper. Here's copper. Here's the biggest change in mining in the 40 years in business. 30 years ago, take a globe, spin it, point your finger without looking, and you can go to that country and mine and not worry too much. Now, what's happening in many parts of the world, South America and all, mining companies are going to think long and hard. Just in Panama, they decided to charge a mine that a couple billion dollars was built to build. Well, we're going to charge you 20% royalty now, not 2%. If you don't like it, hit the road. So the ability to deliver metals for this coming demand that everybody's expecting is acute. It's been ignored. There hasn't been a lot of money spent. These things don't get built in a year. By the time you discover it, develop it, and be able to produce it, could take 10 or 15 years. So you have to be, those are all bullish reasons to like the metals, copper, and the big story is the rare earth minerals. Now, I don't get involved in that, but there are these names that it's hard to pronounce that are desperately needed for a lot of technology stuff, and China basically controls it. And if you think China is our friend and not our enemy, then I think you misunderstand what is happening politically there versus here. So long-winded question. I might have went too long for you, but I'm glad you gave me the chance to get it out. The metals have a very bullish commodity demand scenario, irregardless of strength of the economy, because of all the money around the world that's being thrown for this green effect.
No, when it comes to what people can prepare, how they can prepare, I guess owning metals is one way, possibly, if they're hopefully going to go up in the future. No guarantee. Obviously, we can't give financial advice, but are there any other ways that people can prepare financially for, it sounds like, pretty tough times ahead?
Well, that's the tough problem. One of the reasons why I'm under a lot of stress. Most people are not in a position to live way past the normal. You know, it used to be if you made it to 70 or 75, that was pretty good. That's still, there's plenty of people working at that age. And of course, our bodies get older. I'm witnessing that now. The hairline I can see in our interview is going back further. And the bottom line is, it's a tough thing. People are struggling just to meet today's needs. And Wall Street, you know, I called it the don't worry, be happy crowd. There's a huge audience in the financial service industry, a very large percentage of them, who I like to half jokingly say could be tossed off the top of the Empire State Building and all the way down, they'd all say, hey, so far, so good. They just don't talk about or wanna. And I can understand why, if you don't mind me sharing this with you. So in 2020 and 2021, I turned extremely bearish. When we talked, you know, get out of stocks, even get out of bonds and all. And let me tell you where my business went. Because who would you rather hear? A guy talking like I just spoke about, or a guy says, well, we got this great trading system and we make X amount and blah, 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 blah. Well, people went there. So then the market came down on them. A lot of people lost serious money last year. The cryptocurrencies, you remember how negative I was, that's gone. That's not even, can't come back because it's gone. It's just gone to money heaven or money hell for those people. So what do those people do now? Do they come to a guy and say, oh, you were right, my other guy's wrong? No, they hold on to what they have, hoping that it turns around. So it's very hard to give thoughts, advice, investment advice, whatever, that has negativity in it. Unless, of course, you're selling guns or ammo or cabins in the woods, then those are the people that want to hear stuff like that. But to answer your question, gold, we heard this whole argument during this crypto craze about what a relic it was. It's, you know, you should throw it away. cryptocurrencies are the answer and all. Hey, something that worked, and this was my argument back then, you remember, if it worked for 2,000 years, I'm going to wait a while before I go negative on it, if it were, versus something new and, you know, which everybody's claiming is going to the moon. But the other thing it is, and I'm not saying this because you're involved with gold. I would say this if I was talking on national TV. The other thing about gold is you can hold it. If things get really tough, somebody basically can't come to seize it. Now, people still say, oh, what if the government says, well, listen, the government could say tomorrow, if you don't hop, skip, and jump, we're throwing you in jail. And, you know, you can fight it, have a revolution. We are going to see a war of classes and a war of ages. Now, I don't mean it's going to come to the streets with pickfork and all, but there's going to be a battle, and people ingrain themselves politically. That's why so much money is spent on getting politics. And, you know, you want to get rich, just go work in Congress for a while. It's amazing how much they make, but more than their income. But this is what's coming. These things cannot be avoided. Now, there are people that then, you know, sell something, maybe that's crazy or something. It may not be tomorrow, but it's going to come in your lifetime. You know, you're a little bit younger than I am, but I still think it can come in my lifetime. That's how close I think we are to it. So owning gold, irregardless of trying to make it for a profit, is really a way to survive the hard times. Now, I was never one of those people. People used to say, oh, you got to own gold. Years ago, the Russians are going to take over the United States. I said, well, they said, I'm going to go to Canada with my gold. I said, listen, if they take over the United States, they're taking over Canada too. But it is important to have. And I think also there's profit opportunity in it too. There's nothing wrong with using adversity to make money. You don't want to root for it. But I think what's coming in front of us, people are going to be more concerned. And that's one of the things that's been driving people into gold right now. Some people see what I see and believe it's going to happen. Doesn't mean I'm right, but at least they have that same perception.
And with these times ahead, I think it's very important to be prepared financially. And, you know, you just have to play the cards you're dealt. The other topic I did want to discuss is, you know, with tough times, it's important to be of sound spirit as well and to have your spiritual house in order. So what is your perspective on that? Like the spiritual preparedness, it's so important because when it comes to tough times, it's very easy to despair, right? It's very easy to give up control, give up your freedom. But there's a freedom that comes by being spiritually on track, right? Spiritually on track. There's a freedom that comes from that and realizing that God has everything in control, even if, you know, everything in the world is chaotic.
Well, I'm going through that now. You know, I told you before we started, and the faithful man that I thought I was, it's very easy, or rather easy, to be faithful when things are going pretty good. You know, things are all right, you're making money, health is good, so forth. But when one or more of those things go wrong, and you also become a certain age where you're way past the mountaintop and you're working your way down the other side of the mountain, it's a lot harder to believe those things and have that. And the amazing thing about it is this, and I'm guilty of this because I am overly concerned, worried, depressed, whatever you want to call it. People with little or no means for their life have a much better faith than some of the wealthiest people in the world. And because they basically have relied on their faith their whole life, and they really had nothing else to do it. But what we're witnessing now in the U.S., and this is another point I failed to mention, this is important. Whatever section or area of the country you live in, go visit a food bank, and you'll discover from the food bank people that not only has demand way up, but the levels of income of people seeking food help has risen. It's not just, you know, people that... There are more people getting in the wagon to be pulled than ever before. And those that are left to pull the wagon are going to pay more and more price for pulling the wagon. So your spiritual comment is very, very important. I'm a living example of it. And as much as I like to say to you, oh, yeah, I know God's going to take care of everything. No, when we get done, I'll go back to worrying about if I'm alive 20 years from now, what's it going to be like and all that kind of stuff. The only good news in that from the spiritual side is through what's happened with me, my eternal life is heading in a better direction. And one day when I'm close to my last breath, that's all that's going to matter. It's not going to matter how we traded the market or whether we got it right or wrong or went to this place or had this and all. It's going to be what happens when I take my last breath. And I always tell people without beating the chest, I say it can only be one of three things. It's poof. All that Christian stuff, whatever you believe, there's no God, poof. It's what we believe. Or it's something we don't know. And I go through all three of them. If you go poof, doesn't matter. No one's going to say to you, hey, stupid, you could have been a bad person. Why were you a good person? Well, one of the reasons were it's still better to be a good person, whether you're a believer or not. But if it's what we believe and you're on the wrong side, that's not a good thing. And then the third thing, when people say, well, maybe it's something that we don't know. I say, okay, well, look at that. Whoever or whatever created the earth and the universe had more than just some atoms explode, because there's such scientists have shown that, you know, the earth sits on us. If it was just 1 degree off, it would spin out into the earth, to the earth. How did that happen just coincidentally? How does the human genome system work the way it does? How do these different animals and all these different colors and all this other stuff that they do and all? I just cannot believe that that was just by some explosion and all, and it worked out that way. So even if you don't want to accept a God in the way that we do, whoever or whatever it was, it tended things to be good, because when this earth was first here, before man and woman did what they did, it had all the good stuff that you would need forever. So I think the spiritual thing is tough. I wear it on my sleeve. It's been a negative financially, but hopefully spiritually, and especially eternally, it'd be the most important thing I did.
All right. Well, Peter Grandich, we really appreciate your time today. If people are interested in learning more, and where can they find you? And did you have any last thoughts for our viewers?
Well, there's a website that kind of explains what I do, petergrandich.com. I'm back on Twitter because Musk has taken it over, and we've now discovered many of the things we thought was going on was. And it's more of a freedom kind of place where you don't have, you know, you can say some things that you want to say. So it's at Peter Grandich. And I would just like to say, anybody out there that has similar concerns and fears that I'm living with, you're not alone. You need to have some sort of belief system. Decide for yourself. It's difficult when your mind, you know, when the mind goes off, it's different than when another organ goes off. People look at it a lot differently, because it's hard to understand. You should be able to just hit your head and do it. But our mind, and if you believe in an enemy, as I know me and you do, he can take up residence there. Trust me, he's been in and out of my mind for several months now, and that's hard. And that's where the real test of faith comes. That's when the tire hits the road, or whatever the saying was. And for me now, and I would just say to anybody, if you're struggling with that, you don't have to write to me just to talk about markets. You can write to me about that, and I'd be glad to respond to anybody of your listeners.
And I think, as you mentioned, searching for the truth, I think, is so important. And it may turn out that the truth has been searching for you the whole time when you realize, you know, who the truth actually is. But Peter, thank you so much for joining us today, and God bless.
And thank you for allowing me to expand and speak about things that other people wouldn't. I actually, for the moment, so you know, and I don't want to get teary, I feel better now than before we started this talk, because I got to share things that I feel need to be told, and you gave me that opportunity. So thank you very much.
Miles Franklin Precious Metals is one of America's oldest and most trusted bullion dealers. Miles Franklin is A+ rated and accredited by the Better Business Bureau, licensed and bonded, and has zero complaints ever registered. Here at Liberty and Finance, we are licensed brokers with Miles Franklin. To order, Simply call us, discuss your needs, and we can let you know our live inventory, prices, and availability, and lock in your order over the phone. Once your order is locked, the price is held for you regardless of market fluctuations, and the metals are reserved for you awaiting your settled payment. Within one business day of ordering, you will receive an email invoice detailing the order and payment instructions. Miles Franklin accepts payments by bank wire, ACH or electronic check, money order, check mailed priority mail, and cryptocurrency. The fastest forms of payment are bank wire and cryptocurrency. Upon settled payment, metals will ship out within 3 to 5 business days. You will receive tracking information via email. Domestic shipping charges are $15 for any order under 500 ounces of silver or 10 ounces of gold. For orders larger than that, domestic shipping is free. The package will be boxed, fully insured, and labeled discreetly, with no indication of the contents inside. For your privacy, the name Miles Franklin will not even be on the package. To talk to myself, Kaiser, my brother Elijah, or my father Dunnigan, call 1-888-81-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-815-4237.